Let's see, kiddos, you'll be staying in here this morning. Hopefully you're okay with that. I get to share with you this morning some things about some pretty cool students, some stories. I shared a little bit this morning in our graduate breakfast this morning about these three. I want to share some of those with you as well. First, Taylor Hendricks. Are y'all sweating a little bit, worried? You know, Taylor Hendricks, she really likes to laugh, okay? She does. It's one of her great characteristics. You know, and she likes to really give me a hard time. It's just the way that it is. You know, for the first couple years I was here, she's over here this morning, she sits right here. And she would, when I come up to do announcements, she'd be mouthing the word can't, because she wanted me to say it from the pulpit. So she just loves my country accent, apparently. And, you know, it was really funny because I told her one time, I said, my mom's coming. You think I talk country? Why do you hear her? So she just could not wait till my mom come so she could hear her talk. But, yeah, so Cain has always been something that she just really gives me a hard time about. You know, and the other thing is, we talked about this morning, but she will not get gas when she's supposed to. Like in her car, she just won't do it, and she's like my wife, okay? You know, she will send me pictures of the light being on, saying need fuel, you know, the low fuel light, all the time. It's like, it stresses me out. There was one time I said, do I need to come get you gas or something, because I don't remember what it was, but apparently it was nowhere near a gas station or something like that. So she likes to freak me out like that and send me those pictures. I'm sure there's no one else besides Taylor and Lisa that does that in here, right? You know, Lisa did that one time, went all week long with the gas light on, and it runs out of gas on me when I'm going to the gas station. So, Taylor, you got to stop doing that. You're freaking me out. So, you know, a couple of funny things about Taylor, but here's something I really want to share with you about Taylor that I've come to know over the last few years of being here as a youth minister. First of all, Taylor is a friend to many people. I don't think that there is anyone that she's not a friend to. And that is a very great characteristic to have. She makes anyone feel welcomed. You know, when we first got here, she made sure to let Kobe know that Kobe was seen. I mean, it was thank you for that, because it helped bring us into church here. For we didn't know anybody here, but we knew Taylor quickly, and that's a great, great characteristic to have, to be a friend to everybody. You know, you're a supporter of other people. You know, there's been people, your friends have shared testimonies and baptisms, and you want to be there to support them. And that speaks volumes to those that you come to support like that. I know for me, whenever I have someone to come support me, it makes me feel a lot more comfortable with the situation. So you being, you know, a friend to so many people and such a supporter, that has some great characteristics that you should never lose, because not everyone has that. And so as I was praying for today, I wanted to have scriptures for each of you students this morning. And Taylor, this is your scripture. It's also written in the Bible that was presented to you this morning. But it is Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no other to lift him up. Taylor, thank you so much for being that friend that's there for other people. It is just truly great to know that you're there for people like that. Logan Jackson, where's Logan at? He's not sitting where he normally sits. Logan is a handful. I don't know if that's a strong enough set of words to put there. Logan is a very, very literal person. I'm the same way. Sarcasm is just like our language, okay? It is who we are. But he will literally do everything I say exactly the way I say it. And I've come to realize I don't say things right. He's made me rethink lots of things on how I word things to him. Like I told him this morning, you know, when I go on youth events, typically I'll have whoever's going text me their name. I'll say, text me your name. And Logan, every time, will text me the words, your name. Every time, without fail. And other things like that. He's just, literally what I say is what he's going to do. So he's kept me on my toes, making me think about different ways to say stuff. Literally, as I'm speaking to them. The other thing is, when we did meet Logan for the very first time, we were at the Atheist before we actually come to Bear Creek and got to meet the lead team and several of the youth that were there. And Logan was there among several other of the youth. And I was trying to remember the names. I'm horrible at names. I just am. It's just who I am. I have to look at my wife or my own family. Who is that? When I got to Logan, for some reason, I called him Bert. And it stuck. And for like a long time after that, he signed up for events as Bert. And I knew who he was. My contact in my phone said Bert on it. So it's just the way it happened. But we have joked a lot. You know, I got to go to Mexico with him this past spring break, well, spring break before. And I have to really brag on Logan about that because he and I were supposed to be teaching in kind of like a vacation Bible school type thing in the afternoon. And I got pulled away several days of that week where I couldn't be there to teach. And Logan stepped in there just like it was nothing and was able to teach those kids. That takes someone who is, you know, devoted to God, to his word, to be able to do that. And Logan, thank you for that. And as I was, praying for today and wanted to find verses for you, Acts 13:47 is what God gave me for you. It says, "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." You see, a couple things about Logan that really stands out to me is his genuine love for the lost. He wants them to know Christ. You know, there was one of the boys in our youth that we've been praying for quite a while that Logan had brought several times to the youth, and he says, I really don't think that he's saved. In fact, I think he's an atheist. And so he and I have been praying for him for months, and he came to know Christ a couple weeks ago. Logan has a love for the lost, and I just thank you so much for that. And he has a strong desire to follow Christ. You know, as he sets foot out into the mission field, as he goes to the gap year for the world race, goes to five different countries, right? Four different countries over 9 months. So we need to be praying for him as he seeks God and what's next for him. And then Carly Wilson. You know, I was giving her a really hard time about today for several weeks. You know, and was telling her she had to have a special talent that she had to present to the church on Graduate Sunday. And it just, you know, I had to ask her, I don't have any special talents. There's nothing I do that's special. I said, no, you've got to have something. And we went on for this for so long that Cody Athey's like, we've got to tell her. She's freaking me out that she really thinks she's going to have to do this. I mentioned that to Taylor, and Taylor's like, oh, I got this. I've got this mannequin head at home. It's like, no. But Carly I like to pick on her. She's really, really funny to pick on. And then I also mentioned this morning. You know, I got to see Carly in a different way when Brennan came to youth this year, her brother. Brennan is hilarious, okay? He just is. And he's like zero fear, okay? And Carly can give him some looks that if I could like take a picture of every one of them to show you, you would just die laughing because it is the typical older sister like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with my brother type thing. So it has been awesome watching that, the interaction between the two in youth, especially on Wednesday nights. But one thing about Carly, two things about Carly that I've really noticed over the last few years. The first is that Carly loves her family. That is something that I have known for a while, just by the way she is around them. You know, and I give a hard time about the look she gives Brennan, but she loves her brothers. She does that. Actually, the way she is with Brayson and for her mom and dad. So, mom and dad, you've done good. She loves y'all very much. You know, and as I was praying about your verse, Carly, you helped me realize something that I have been doing wrong in youth. And so I want to thank you for pointing this out. You know, for the past couple years, everything's been going really good in youth. And I would be getting ready for worship or the game or whatever to roll into our message, and Carly would stop me. I have a prayer request. She was never too shy to stop me to say we need to pray for someone. And so as I was thinking about this, I realized that I have not been devoting enough prayer time in youth group. And that's because you've pointed it out to me, and I want to thank you for that. The power of prayer is remarkable. And we will start doing that more. We will start having more prayer time in the youth because of that. Carly sees the power of prayer. She understands that. And she knows when someone's hurting or when someone's going through difficult times in their life, that she can go to God. And that God can help them through the situation or walk through the situation with them, no matter how great or small that is. And so that's something we need to do better as a youth group, as we need to spend more time praying. We have a prayer list in our youth room that we write prayers, requests on. But I'll be honest with you, we don't look at it well enough. We don't pray about it well enough. We don't give updates on it well enough, and that's going to change. So thank you so much for helping that be seen so that I can make sure that that changes in the future. And so your verse that God gave me was Psalms 107, verses 28 through 30. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. So thank you for pointing that out for me. Each of these three mean a great deal to me, and I've said that, and I can't say it enough. They are great students in our youth group that many can look up to and know that you can actually live a good life for Christ. You can show others the love of Christ. And so it's going to be a sad day when they do stop coming to youth. I've got them for a little bit longer before they head off in their directions that they're going. And so we're going to cherish those moments we have and the events that we get to do. But I did encourage them to, you know, as they go off into whatever is next in their life, if it does take them away from Bear Creek, that they do come back and tell us how they're doing and report to us. And we want to see how God is doing in their lives, how God is moving in their lives, you know, as they go into whatever's next. We want to hear back from you, you know. It's just, you've always got a home here at Bear Creek. Even if life takes you somewhere else and you have to join a church somewhere else, you always have a special place here at Bear Creek. And we want to know how you're doing so we can brag on you a little bit. It has been a joy having you in youth. And like I said, it will be a great loss when you leave. But we are so happy and proud of you for the accomplishments that you have done so far and know that you're going to do in the future. These younger kids in church have some great people to look up to. And I just thank you for that. It's kind of hard to say nowadays with lots of kids. You can't say that about everyone. There's lots of kids that would rather do things that are wrong or things that are bad or self-glorifying themselves. And you have set before these young kids a great example of someone who loves other people, who loves Christ. So I got a little teary-eyed in there. I'm trying not to this morning because they are some very special kids, young ladies and young man for sure. So I want to transition this into our message. And I need some help with this demonstration here that I want to present. So nobody knew I was going to do this. If you're in sixth grade or higher through 12th grade, sixth grade through 12th grade, seniors, you get to count in this, I need you to come forward and make a line right up here. Come on, you can do it. It's like we're playing a game, you know. I'll pick team members, you know, and y'all can pick a team. No, I'm not going to do that. Yes, Kobe says he knows where I live. Okay. All right, so we got any more? Okay. All right. Yes, you're taller than me, Cody. Doesn't take much, though, so. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through and I'm going to separate you guys, okay? All right, so if you're not the one I separate, you stay where you are, okay? You go down there. Not you. You go down there with Kobe. You go down there. Okay, so over here. All right, now y'all squeeze down that way. Okay. All right, so I have dodgeballs. No, I'm just playing. We're not going to play dodgeball. I want to present something to you. There's this group of kids, and there's this group of kids. This group of kids represents the amount of kids that stop going to church when they graduate high school. This represents who stays in school, stays in church. Yeah. That's pretty staggering. High school's over with, they graduate. These guys stop going to school, to church. They go to church. We all can have a seat. Three out of four youth will stop attending church when they graduate high school. That is unreal, but it's the truth. So church, it is a great responsibility for us to be praying for our graduates, because we don't want them to be the statistics over here that doesn't go to church anymore. Here's what's important about that. Not only do they stop going to church between the ages of 18 and 22, but when they do that, it says that 70% of 23 to 30-year-olds stop attending church regularly for at least a year between that age of 18 to 22, okay? Six out of the 10 that drop out because of life change, okay? This is a life change that they're going to experience. The days of waking up, going to school, coming home, doing homework, going to bed and repeating that the next day, it's all changing. You know, it's going to be different. So this is a life change. And so many students will drop out of church altogether. It says that if you stay in church from the ages 18 through 22, then as a 23 through 30-year-old, 82% at least attend church twice a month. So it's of great value to stay in church whenever you graduate from high school, from that college years that you are still attending church. And here's what I don't think a lot of people understand, is that 80% of young people who dropped out of church said they did not plan to drop out of church during high school. So this is, you know, you may be sitting here thinking, I'll continue going to church, I've always gone to church. Well, that's what most everyone always said as well. I was one of those statistics. I actually did go to church between ages of 18 and 22, but here's my problem with that. I went to church between the ages of 18 and 22 to check off a box saying I went to church. I wasn't truly involved with the church. I wasn't spiritually growing like I should have during that time frame. And so when Lisa and I got married, I was 23. And so it became easy to just sleep in on Sunday mornings, to not go on Wednesday nights. You know, my job did call for me to work some on the weekends, but I'll be honest with you, I would go in to work early, so early when I get back, Lisa would still be asleep most of the time. But I use it as an excuse to not go to church. So I want to encourage you, as you are starting this new chapter in life, that you not just go to church, but you actively go to church. You find a ministry to serve, whether it's still here at Bear Creek or it's a different church, that you find a place to serve. Have yourself be accountable to something in that church so that you will stay involved. That way, when you do graduate from college, church is just a part of life. It's continued to be a part of life. And so you can lean on God, and you don't have to worry and be like those that stray and go away from God and have to be called back. You know, we had to be called back because of Sunday school teacher sending us lessons for Sean that he had missed for an entire season. You know, it's just we didn't realize we'd missed that much. And that's the crazy thing is when you miss church one time, and every now and then that's going to happen. Things happen. You got vacations, family, you know, sickness. That happens. But here's what happened is that second week in a row, when you decide I'm not going to come to church, then it slowly becomes a habit. And you find yourself just not going to church at all. And it's very difficult to get back into church. You know, Satan can get a hold of you and realize, you know what, I'm so busy. You know, I have all this I have to do. You know, and so Sunday mornings just be a good time for me to just kind of relax. Don't fall into that temptation. When college is coming, you're going to have lots of homework. Guys, you think high school is hard, just hold on. I mean, it's going to get really difficult because not only are you doing that, but you're probably going to be balancing this with a job too, and it's just going to be even more difficult, pulled away from your normal part of life, and so it's going to be real easy to separate yourself from the church. And I want to encourage you not to be one of the statistics where you fall away from church and has to go in, you know, down the road a little ways before something God gets a hold of you in some way and pulls you back to church. You know, when we left the church, or when I left the church, because unfortunately Lisa wasn't raised in the church, and it's always been a thing that's worried, well, not worried me, but I was upset with myself because she came to know Christ as we were, you know, right before we got married, and I didn't take her to church. I mean, it was my responsibility to have her in church. You know, I just wish that I would have done that. And so I want to encourage you guys to stay in church, to be actively involved in church, and not have something have to happen to remind you of that. I had my parents telling me right and left to go to church. An aunt that has passed away now that there was like a second mother would get on to me. Why aren't you taking your family to church? You know, and it took someone who was not even related to me to get a hold of me and make me realize that it was my responsibility. And when I realized it was more than just me that's at stake here, then I started going to church. And so I don't want you to fall into that situation where you have years of your life where you could have been really poured into by God and given opportunities to share who Christ is to other people. I don't want you to miss that. Because that is a beautiful time that God is shaping you and molding you into the person that you can become in Him. And so don't do like I did and what many others has done and stray away from God. Continually seek Him. Look for Him in everything. Be His hands and feet. And it was just an amazing experience to follow God and to live the way that He would have you to live. It's not going to be a dull life, that's for sure, if you follow God. So I want to get to the scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read 24 and 25 with a main part in 25. I want us to look at this and look at how we as a church can encourage these graduates and other people. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The main part I want you to see is in verse 25, the not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Even back in the days that Hebrews was written, we had people that were straying away from the church. And it was recognized here that we do not need to neglect us coming together in fellowship as a congregation. It is a beautiful thing that the church family as a whole, you know, to have friends that are really more than friends, more like family, that you can lean on for encouragement, lean on for situations that you don't know how to handle things, and they can offer you advice. And the beautiful thing about it is most times when you say, I'm going through this, whoever you're talking to can say, I went through the same thing. Let me give you some encouragement of what God showed me in that, or what you should do to get through that situation. So we as a church need to be looking at ways to encourage people. You know, have accountability partners in the church. And if you don't have an accountability partner, you need to be praying for God to give you that. Someone you can go to and share things with, the bad things in life that you're going through, the great things in life that you're going through. Someone that you can lean on in tough situations. But also, that person can come to you and say, hey, I've noticed you've not been doing this or not doing that, and it's in love that they're doing it. Or you know, for the situation when I pulled away from the church, if I would have had that accountability person, I could have never pulled away because he wouldn't have let me. You know, he would have seen that I'm straying away and come up to you because in love doing this, say, I've noticed you've not been in church. Why haven't you been going to church? How can I pray for you? What can I do to help you? We need that, and it's a beautiful thing that God has given us with the church because we can help each other in those situations. You know, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. There are people that can really stir up some stuff, and it's not always the good stuff that they stir up. It's just, I don't know, there's some people that just like to do that. They like to stir up trouble. They like to bring things. They like the drama and stuff. That's not what Christ is asking us to do here. He's wanting us to stir up in one another love and good works. And it's should be such an easy place in the church to do that, to stir up love and to opportunities that we have to minister to other people, the good works that we can do through that. So as a church, we need to do that with each other. Not neglecting to meet together is the habit of some. We just talked about that. I've had friends in my life that says, oh, I don't have to go to church. I can worship God on my own. And yes, you can. But he formed the church for a reason. And so we need to take part in that part of the life that God has given us, is coming together, worshiping him. I love to come here. I love to hear the songs as we sing them, as people are worshiping God, or as we're praying together. It's a beautiful time with the followers of Christ come together, believers with one goal, and that is to praise God. And yes, you can have quiet times, and you need to have quiet times, but you also need to have times to come together as a congregation. So you students, as you go off, and if it does take you away from Bear Creek, find you a church to go to. Don't reserve your only time to come to church when you're back here. We want you to come when you're here, obviously. But if you're not coming back once every, 8 weeks, that doesn't classify you as actually going to church. Okay, so I want to encourage you to find a church that you can go to. Find someone there that you can, somewhere you can get involved in. You know, Logan, your sister is a good example of doing that. You know, her going off to College Station, going down there and finding a church, and not just finding a church, but being involved with the youth ministry there. I encourage you guys to do something similar to that. So you're staying in church, so you're still growing. And we as a congregation need to be looking at that, how we can help others in that same situation. And it doesn't even have to be, a graduate. Who can we help pull in to make sure they're still coming to church? It says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day drawing near is Christ coming back. You know, I'm sure you've heard the saying before, what would you be doing if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow? Who would you be talking to? In a sense, that's a really good question to have, because as Jesus is drawing closer, and with every breath we take, we're getting closer to Christ returning. If we have that mindset, then it's really going to change our attitudes towards a lot of things. Things that we thought would be very important to us will suddenly become not so important. If we really focus on Christ and his return. And just think about right now, your family and friends that doesn't know Christ. As we draw closer to that day when he returns, and if we knew exactly when that moment is, I guarantee you, everyone in here would be doing something slightly different this afternoon when we dismiss from church. So we need to encourage others. We need to draw them to Christ. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, what I love about it is it's not so much what I can get from church, but what I can give to church. Something that was never explained to me that I had to come to realize over the years is that I don't go to church for entertainment. I don't go for the show. I go to church to serve. That's the way we should have that attitude. There's lots of people who say, oh, I won't go to that church. I don't like the music. Or I won't go to that church. I'm not crazy about how the pastor preaches. I want to change your mindset, especially for these three here that at some point will have to look for their church home. Hopefully it's still here. Don't go to a church and expect to only get something from them. As you're going to churches, as you're praying, pray for God to reveal to you where you need to serve. Because you know what? It may take you to that church that you're not crazy about the music or that you're not crazy about the pastor, but there's a specific spot for you to minister in that church. And so I want you to keep that as your focus, as you're going to church, as you're searching for the church that God would have you to go to. Where can I serve you best? Where do you want me to serve others? Because church is not just about getting something. Church is about giving something. We want to invest in the lives of other people. Invest, we as a congregation can invest into the lives of these younger kids. You know, I've seen the youth as they invest time into the even younger kids in that. We had the Bible Buddies about a year and a half ago that we'd like to get started back up. It just didn't take off like we wanted to. But even not having that, when we have different type of events and the youth will help take care of the kids, they're investing in those younger kids. All three of these are phenomenal with working with younger kids. They are patient with them. And sometimes that's not easy. Some kids are not so easy to work with as other kids. But these three I've seen work time and time again with younger kids. And when they're doing that, they're doing it with a loving heart. And those kids recognize that. And so I want to ask us as a congregation for you to think about, who are you investing in? Because every one of us should be investing in someone else in this church. You had Jesus who invested his time and love into the disciples. You had Paul who invested his time and love into Timothy. So my question for you to ask yourself is, who am I investing my time in? Who am I helping to disciple? Who am I helping to grow closer to Christ? Because we can do that just like they did in the biblical days. It's what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to invest into other people. And so we as a congregation need to pour into these three that are graduating. What time we have left to share with them things that you have experienced and how to handle different situations. Form relationship with them to where if they're off away and they need some advice, they know who they can call. Okay? I mean, clearly they can call their parents. They know that. But sometimes it's nice to have someone else you can talk to as well. And I know there's several men and women in this church that would love to be mentors to you guys. So be looking for who you can invest into here as a church. You know, we are, as a church, it does take a church really to raise a kid. I mean, it just does. I was very thankful that I was raised in church. You know, I had lots of different people that shared different ways of understanding Scripture, different ministries that they offered that I could participate in. I'm very thankful for that. We need to be that way as well and help to raise up these kids to be good, godly men and good godly women. You know, Brad Wagner, the Vice President of Research and Ministry Development at Lifeway, says that relationships are often the glue that keeps people in church or serves as the attraction to begin attending again following a period of absenteeism. Many people are deeply influenced by friends and loved ones. You each have a circle of life, a circle of friends that you interact with that is different than mine. And so form those friendships and encourage them to church. Encourage them to come to church if they're not going or if they've delayed in themselves in coming. Encourage them because friendships do mean a lot and they do encourage us to go to church. So be looking for opportunities to reach out to them, to bring them into church. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm asking anyone here that if they see you three pull away, that we pull you back. Okay? I'm just going to ask them to do that because we don't want you to be the statistic like this group over here that doesn't attend church, that delays their calling for what God has called them to do. We want you to be over here that's staying in church, that can be active in church, and wanting to serve him more and more. Before I close, I want to pray for you guys again, and Pastor Scott's going to come up here. But I want you to know that each one of you are very special to me. Carly, Logan, and Taylor, thank you so much for what you've done for the youth. And I'm so blessed to have gotten to know you over these few years. Let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the friendship that I have with these three. Lord, I just pray that you would watch over them, encourage them, Lord, as they start going to school, to college, into mission trips, and then school. Father, make your presence be known to each one of them, personally known. So much in a way that they will not steer away from you. Lord, I pray that the world doesn't try to pull them away, that their faith in you is strong enough to withstand any type of temptation Satan throws at them to pull them away from you. Father, I thank you for each of them as they have contributed to the youth, for the laughter that we've had, and for the serious talks that we've had. Lord, I thank you for both. Lord, I pray again for the parents as they watch these three, watch their kids walk across the stage. Lord, just be with them during that time. Lord, I know I joked around for years saying that when Sean graduated, Lisa was going to be just horrible, and honestly, it was me that was worse. So, Father, I know it's going to be an emotional roller coaster of excitement and sadness at the same time. So be with the parents. Give them peace through this, and give them the words to encourage their kids as they have taken the next step. They've passed this milestone of transitioning to a different style of parenting them. So, Father, be present in that home, in their home. Lord, I thank you so much for Bear Creek and the opportunity, Lord, that I get to spend with some really, really great students, and pray that they grow up to be godly men and women. It's your name that I pray. Amen.